Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was just about this time, 10 years ago, that the reality began to sink in. And like many of you, I am sure, it was a morning that we can still recall with vivid clarity, as clear and as bright as that blue September sky. For me, I was driving to work when the reports began to come in over the radio. And for a few minutes, all seemed to be confusion. How could this happen? How could a plane hit a building when there's not a cloud in the sky? What kind of crazy accident could have caused something like this? But then, as I neared the office, the shocking reality became clear. Our nation was under attack. This was a deliberate and organized terrorist strike, and there was more to come. A second plane, a second tower, and then a third plane, and yet another violent impact. Once in the office, our conference room television came on, and like most of you here today, we watched in unbelief as the next 102 minutes passed, 2,603 lives lost, and countless others changed forever. The striking reality that evil was not simply a concept, but a tangible, painful, and violent truth shook us to our very core. Satan, the old evil foe, the roaring lion from 1 Peter, seemed to roar at his loudest that day. And for a time, our weak and sinful selves may even have wondered if he had won. No real work was accomplished that day, at least in our office. The events had made our daily tasks of advertising and marketing insignificant. Our minds were full of scrambled thoughts, and our hearts were full of misdirected emotions. And not really sure of what to do next, it came as great comfort when I was informed that our church would be holding a special service of prayer that evening. So for over an hour, we gathered as Christ's body, his church, and we read psalms, scriptures, and prayers. We sang hymns, and we celebrated communion. And as clear as I remember the events of that morning, I can just as clearly remember some of the songs sung and some of the scriptures that were read. We read Psalm 62 and Psalm 46, as well as the psalm that we sang today, Psalm 40. There were just a few of them. And it was there, gathered together as church, united as one around Christ's gifts, that the confused thoughts and emotions began to find a sense of order. When Satan and the whole world all seemed to be against us, when they seemed to be winning and we appear to be on the losing end of the deal, when confusion, loss, pain, anger, and emotion appear to rule the day, the sure knowledge that Christ continues to be alive and active, gathering, feeding, and redeeming his sheep is the only way our souls will find rest. As we sang today in Psalm 40, verse 11, "As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me." In Psalm 62, we read, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Yes, in the midst of this unstable world, you can rest assured our Lord holds us firmly in his protective grasp, so that we will not be shaken. Fighting, quarrels, and distress, evil if you will, are things we must face throughout our days on this sin-broken world. It was as true in King David's time as it is in our own. and it was true as well in the days of Paul. It is believed that David wrote the 40th Psalm when he was a young man, being pursued by his king, King Saul. And it most likely is that he wrote Psalm 62 when he was under attack many years later by his very own son, Absalom. Throughout his life, David would turn to the only true source of comfort and salvation he knew well. It was God alone. For Paul, the quarrels and fighting seemed to be of a much less violent nature. Paul was trying to make peace among people with differing opinions. But these were new Christians, and they were suffering under Roman persecution, and they lived daily with the very real threat of death. And these early Christians were arguing amongst themselves over what each other was doing, what they were eating, and what day of the week was better than the other. Here, Paul realigns their focus. If this new church was to survive, they had to stop worrying about themselves and what each other was doing, and they needed to start focusing on living to the Lord. We read in Romans, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." Think about those words. Think about the words of Paul for a moment. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For those new Christians in Rome, being the Lord's very own, being held tightly in his mighty and loving grasp, made their quarrels of whose way was right and whose way was wrong of little or no importance. It didn't even matter if they died, because if they were to die, they were the Lord's. For those Christians living under that constant and very real threat of death, this one truth came as great comfort. And it was very similar for David as well. Threatened and under attack by his king, or even later under attack by his own son, he turned to God alone and took comfort in the knowledge that he was under the Lord's protection, that he too was the Lord's very own. He actually wrote songs about it. He knew and sang that God alone was his rock, his fortress, and his salvation. He knew that the Lord's steadfast love and faithfulness would preserve and protect him. David and those early Christians knew that the Lord would hold them firmly in his protective grasp, and they would not be shaken. When we recall the events that took place 10 years ago, it's easy to feel that we have been let loose from God's hand. When the pains, trials, and temptations of this world overpower us, we can fall into the old evil foe's snare. We become fatalistic. We forget God's blessing and promise, and we fall into despair. Like those Christians in Rome that Paul was addressing, we can begin to argue, fight, and pass judgment on one another. But all this does is allow evil, Satan, and his devils to have their way. No, rather than fall prey to the violence, arguments, and squabbles of this mortal world, it is far better to fall back on the sure and eternal promises of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is better to fall into his mighty, steadfast, and caring hands, because he alone is our rock, he alone is our salvation. He is our fortress. And no matter what happens, whether we live or even whether we die, as Paul tells us, we are the Lord's. We are his very own. The Lord makes us his own with water and with word, with gospel. And he continues daily to hold us in his firm grasp. He continues to nourish us with his word and with the sacraments. He continues to gather us together as his church. And not just here in this place, but together with all the faithful throughout this nation and throughout the world. Together, united in the confession of Jesus as the Christ, he gives us the victory over any and all that Satan may throw our way. our Lord holds us firmly in his protective grasp so that we will not be shaken. One of the hymns we sang that evening 10 years ago is one I know you are all familiar with. I sang it here very often as a boy at Trinity, and I have sung it every year since. But for some reason, that night, the verses touched me deeply. You all know it. It's the old Lutheran standby, number 656, A Mighty Fortress. Many of you may think of it as an old chestnut, best brought out only on Reformation Day. But after the tragic events of that morning, verse 3 struck to the core. Referencing imagery from the Psalms, we sang, "Though devils all the world should fill." And it was very clear that evening that the devils are out there. "Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince," that's Satan, you recall, "may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. Our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth." Amen. Our victory has been won. It was won on the cross at Calvary, where sin, death, and the devil were beaten for all eternity, where Christ opened the gates of heaven to everyone, to you and to me, where he won for us eternity itself. And I realize that the old evil foe may make our lives miserable here for a while, with his scowling, his roaring, and his painful, very real attacks. But we are the eternal victors. He can harm us none. Through Christ's all-availing sacrifices, death, and his glorious resurrection, we are heirs to his heavenly kingdom. We are his own. We are in his grasp. Today we take time out to honor all those who were lost 10 years ago. We recall the innocent lives lost and the families whose fates were changed forever. We recall the acts of selfless heroism and bravery, those that have been told, as well as the countless other acts of heroism that will never be told. And we will gather this evening to ring our church's bell in their memory. And it is fitting that we do so. It's fitting that we ring church bells, because the church bell is more than just a sound of earthly remembrance. Our old bell is first and foremost a call to come and worship. It's rung twice already this morning, and it will ring again. It will ring the call to come together as church, where he gathers, feeds, and strengthens us with his eternal gifts. His gifts of word and sacraments. And then, being filled with his Holy Spirit, we get sent out to be of service to our neighbors, to serve as Christ served, with forgiveness, kindness, love, humility, and sacrifice. Our bell will ring to gather his little ones together on the first day of Sunday school, where they too will be faithfully taught the glorious gospel message. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, they will grow stronger in their faith and in their service to the Lord. Our bell will ring the call of true victory, the eternal victory of Christ over sin, death, and the devil. The victory bell will ring tonight, and it will ring next week as well on Rally Day, and it will continue ringing us to gather as his children, as his very own, and to bring friends along as well, so that everyone, friends, neighbors, strangers alike, can join in his victory, so that they too can be caught up in his mighty and steadfast hands, so that they too can rest assured that our Lord holds us firmly in his protective grasp, and we will not be shaken. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.